Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Huron County Author Talk, a podcast where a group of talented local authors share their insights on the remarkable, imaginative, and nuanced world of writing. I'm your host, Hamilton Baker of the Huron County Library, and I'm excited to bring you another episode. So whether you're a fan, an aspiring author, or a reader interested in hearing more about this creative process, this show is for you. In episode 7, I sat down with one of Huron County's local authors, Judy Kightley. In our virtual interview, Judy tells me about her writing journey, including how she's written her Rose Blair murder mystery series that's set in Bayfield, as well as her various plays and novellas. She talks about the benefits of participating in National Novel Writing Month, or NaNoWriMo for short, as well as her experiences with both self-publishing and traditional publishing. So, it's the beginning of 2023. What are you working on these days?
Oh, I'm working on my 11th Rose Blair murder mystery, and it's called Murder at the 10th Hole.
And yeah, so how far along in the process are you?
Early days, but as with all my writing, it's been in my head for about 6 months. So the process with me anyway is I write it in my head actually for months and months and months. And then when I feel ready, I just go, but I'm old school, I write it in longhand. And then when I'm finished it, I then take it to the computer and type it in. So I use the first handwritten as a draft, really, because when I type it into the computer, I'm chopping and changing and, you know, doing things like that. So, actually, I did discover that I could do it by audio on the computer, if you press the microphone thing, and that has been much easier. So what I do is I write it in longhand, then I speak into the computer and it types it up for me. Sometimes it's a bit gobbledygookish, but that's quicker than using my fingers.
I was gonna say, I wonder how accurate it captures, but yeah, it probably makes a few mistakes, but it's pretty good as far as typos.
Yeah, it's much better than about 5 years ago. I had a software called Dragon Speak, and it really wasn't very good. And it would almost write things that were completely bizarre. It would get the gist of what I was saying, and then it would write weird things. So what I'm using now is just on Philip's laptop. He has the microphone thing that you can talk into, and it's not bad. I mean, I still have to go back and, you know, check and make sure it's got the right words and stuff, but on a whole, it's much better than it used to be.
Okay, so what literary pilgrimages have you gone on?
And I needed a bit of clarification for that.
Okay.
When you say a pilgrimage, what do you mean?
I think a pilgrimage as in, like, for instance, writing my book, which takes place in Greece, I actually traveled to Greece.
Okay, so research, really, more than anything. Well, if you probably don't know me, but if you did know me, you'd know that I'm a world-traveled person. You can track my traveling through all the books I've written, because I use my own personal experience, just as you did if you went to Greece, to write from that personal experience. So, for instance, in my last Rose Blair murder mystery, with the 10th one, which is not out yet, but it's with the publisher, that's Murder at the Winery, Tom and Rose go to Antigua, and they end up buying a house in Antigua. So we've been to Antigua about 6 times, so I'm very familiar with the island. So I use that as personal experience.
So you don't necessarily go for a book, but you just draw on your own travels.
Yeah, I do. Well, having said that, we've just come back from Costa Rica, and I'm in the middle of writing a novel called The Five Sisters. So this is another one other than The Rose Blair. And in The Five Sisters, the chapter I'm writing now, one of the sisters sets up a school in Costa Rica. So I saved writing that chapter until we'd got back from Costa Rica, because I wanted to actually see firsthand so I could describe the places and what have you. So that was a case of, I consciously thought, oh, I'll wait until we get back before I write the next chapter.
Okay, so once in a while.
Yes.
Yeah. Does writing energize or exhaust you?
Oh, I think it energizes me. Definitely.
Yeah. And what are common traps for aspiring writers?
Oh, I think procrastination and letting life get in the way. I think you have to be quite disciplined to write a novel. I know from, I've run several writers' circles, and there've been excellent writers amongst the circle of people, and very few have actually managed to finish a novel. They start and they're good. Mm-hmm. But getting to the end is difficult.
Yeah, I can attest. I have two novels that I, you know, wrote the second draft, but then didn't actually see it through to publication, and then went on to another one. Like, it is hard to finish from start to finish to a published work, like to get it all the way to that point. It's a lot of work.
It's incredibly hard. And I think that's where most people fail, because most people can get a novel eventually written. Sometimes it takes years. But then what to do with it? It becomes stressful. Mm-hmm. And I think I might have mentioned this to you before, and I'm sure you know, but the writing competition that I started, me on my novel writing as opposed to novella writing, is called NaNoWriMo, and it's once a year, the month of November. And if you write 50,000 words, which is a full-length novel, 50,000 words is 240 pages, and that is considered a full-length novel. If you manage to succeed in doing that, then you can, they basically guide you through publishing, and you end up on Amazon. But it's a very focused month, and I think it's excellent. Mm-hmm. Because I've been a prolific writer. I've written 20 novellas, but never quite reached a full novel length. But by doing this month of November competition, I broke it down to 1,700 words a day. And I set myself that task and succeeded. Mm-hmm. So, and that's how I got the Rose Blair Murder Mystery series written.
Because do you do that every year still?
Not since I was taken on by a publisher.
Right.
Because now the pressure is not there so much. Well, it is, I suppose, but no, I didn't do it this last year. This last year was the first year I did not do the NaNoWriMo thing. And actually, I wished I had, because this one that I'm writing, my 11th one, I'm not doing it as quickly as I would normally do. Because normally I would have it done by the end of November. And then you've got 6 months to edit and get it ready for publication.
Okay.
But the actual finishing of the novel from start to finish, mm-hmm. by the end of November, I would always have that done.
Right.
And I've only just got into about the second chapter now. So yeah. You know,
it's something that obviously works for you, because mm-hmm. it worked so many times before.
It is. It's well, it just focuses you. And I mean, you know, the 50,000 words, your fingers on the word count. But I know I've broken it down to 1,700 words a day for 1 month. So it's you know, I would set myself that little task, and if I was not able to do one day, I would do the 3,500 words to make up, because if you leave it more than, if you get too far behind, then you cannot finish that target of 50,000. But yeah. It's good to have that, actually.
Yeah, it sounds like it's effective.
It is, yeah.
And I was going to say, I think you've told us before, but when did the publishers, because you were self-published for years, and just for our listeners, when did the publisher take you on?
Well, 2 years ago, how it happened is I was scrolling through Facebook, and there was something that said, are you interested in audio books or something like that? And I'd often toyed with the idea of, I thought my Rose Blair murder mysteries would be quite good on as an audio. So I pressed the, you know, interested or whatever it was. And then I got a phone call from this company. It's called Grace Point Publishing. And they said, well, you know, we don't normally take people on for audios, but what, you know, tell us about your work. And I told them, and then they said, oh, well, we could be interested, and left it at that. And then I had a phone call, they asked my contact details. I had a phone call 2 days later to say they'd read my first Rose Blair and they were very interested in taking me on. So now Grace Point Publishing House is in Colorado Springs. They essentially do mostly motivational stuff, books on self-improvement and self-discovery and blah, blah, blah. And they wanted to now open it up to fiction. So I was their first fiction author to be taken on. So that's 2 years ago. So they took on all my Rose Blairs that I'd written before that, and they republished them with different covers and went through them all and everything. And I don't know, it's a whole new venture, but having a publisher. But this was all through the pandemic, so they haven't done an awful lot of marketing, and that's the bit that I sort of thought they would market me more. But apparently I am in Barnes and Nobles in the States, and that's a bit like our chapters here. And of course Amazon, yeah, find me on Amazon. But yeah, anyhow, I can say I'm published now.
Yeah, there's that at least. So we've known each other for a little while, but if somebody has never heard of you and is for the first time, what would you say to them about, you know, what are your books like, or what are they about?
Well, of course, my the series that brought the publisher in, or brought me to light from the publisher, is the Rose Blair Murder Mystery series, and they're classified as cozy thrillers. Cozy armchair murder mysteries or something like that. And basically I have this Rose and Tom Blair who live in the village of Bayfield, and somehow Rose always seems to be involved with a murder. So now I think Bayfield has become the murder capital of Ontario. So there's murders that take place. And they're more holiday reads, I would say. They're not great literary pieces, but they're quite easy reads. Have you read any of mine?
Not yet, no.
Uh-huh. You can find them in the library.
Yeah, they are in the library. Yeah, for anyone listening yet, they are all, I think we have all of them in the library at this point. The ones you've
read. Well, you may not. Murder at the Winery yet, because I don't think that one's out. Well, I haven't seen it, if it is. So Murder at the Winery is the latest one to be, it's with the publisher at the moment. And that is the number 10th one.
Oh yeah, we won't have that one. Once it's released, then we'll,
I'm sure. Yes, yeah.
Switching gears a bit, did you ever consider writing under a pseudonym?
I did, right at the beginning. Actually, I started off writing poetry, and I did publish my poems under a pseudonym, and then I thought, oh, that's silly, why do that? So I thereafter used my own name. I actually took my great-grandma's name, Amelia Grace.
So that was why, because she was, I was going to say, how did you pick the name? But that's how you pick the name.
Yes, yes.
What other authors are you friends with, and how do they help you become a better writer?
Well, actually, I don't know, other than the writers group that you started up, Hamilton. I don't really have any close author friends that I can talk to, but I've got lots of lovely friends who, when I'm cooking a novel, I brainstorm with them and say, what do you think if blah, blah, blah? And I have some really good friends who act as readers. So before I even send it to the publisher, the manuscript is read by, I have three friends who regularly read my novels before I send the manuscript off. However, we were on a cruise, a Caribbean cruise just before Christmas, and who should I meet but two other authors? So we immediately clicked, and we spoke about our writing and our books, and we've been in contact with each other, and we've ordered each other's books on Amazon, and it was quite jolly actually to meet other authors. Okay. And we all have the same angst, we all have the same problems.
We can relate to each other, right? If you could tell your younger writing self anything, what would it be?
I think, be persistent, don't procrastinate. Although I'm not a procrastinator, I'm just get on with it, really. I wished I'd pursued, although I see I didn't really pursue, being published sooner. I never wanted to go, I've got 20 novellas that I haven't done anything with yet. And I haven't sent them to my publisher because I've just concentrated on the Rose Blair murder mystery thing. And I'm not quite sure at this stage even whether I want to send them to my publisher. And if I did, they would be compiled into a compilation of maybe four to a novel under a set theme. I've always been reluctant to do anything further with my work because I didn't want the headache of having to try and get a publisher or an agent or any of that sort of stuff. I write a novel, then I want to get onto the next one. I'm not interested in that side of things, other than the fact you almost need an audience when you've written, you've gone to all that hard work. But it's not hard work. It depends which way you look at it. To me, writing's pleasurable. And so when I finished one, I want to start another one. And I almost want to forget about that one I've finished, and I'm keen to start another one. So, yeah, possibly. If to my younger self, I'd say pursue being published.
Okay, that's a good answer.
A long way round.
What was the best money you ever spent as a writer?
Well, I haven't spent any money. I've got I'm spoiled. I've got computers, I've got a desktop, and I've got a laptop. Well, I use my husband's laptop when I want to use the microphone thing. I don't spend any money, really, no.
Like even to get the books published, when you were self-published, did you have to spend any money to get them published?
Not really. I mean, you can. On the route of the NaNoWriMo, after I'd sent the manuscript in, you send it to, with the NaNoWriMo, something called Creator Space, which is a publisher, sort of like self-publishing. You can pay to have the cover designed for you. You can pay to somebody to edit for you. You can pay for somebody to format, but you don't have to, because they give you all the requirements and even the measurements of the cover design, and you can do it all yourself, which I have a very technical husband. I am technically challenged myself, but Philip is great. He likes that. He's an engineer. He likes to format, and he likes to put things and have the right border at each side, all that sort of stuff. So between us both, we haven't spent any money on the self-publishing thing. Because I don't want to. I mean, you don't make much money anyway. I mean, I'm published now, but I get royalty checks, but you know, I'll keep getting them as long as I have books being bought, but I'll never be rich.
So you don't want to, you're not getting a lot of income, so you don't want expenses.
No, I mean, you know, the old saying, don't give up the day job.
Exactly.
And I think people have to be realistic. Very, very few people actually, you know, are that successful that they can live off their writing. Even well-known names that we read from the library, you have to reach a big stage where you're selling so many books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got to be a lot. All right, what was an early experience where you learned that language had power?
I don't know. I've always written, even as a young thing, I wrote poetry. I started my writing career as first writing poetry. I've never consciously written in terms of power. At school, I suppose, I was good at writing essays and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't think that applies to me. I've never felt that I use the written word. Well, actually, no, I say that. I've written plays. I suppose if you want to say that's powerful, I don't know. It's rather nice to see a play, which I then direct, come to fruition on the stage. You know, you bring it to life. So if you can loosely interpret that as having power, I don't know.
Well, I mean, speaking of your plays, how many plays have you written? When were they?
I've written 12. And they were all written. Well, actually, I've written more, because before we moved to Bayfield, I wrote at least 4 or 5, and they were all fundraisers. So some were murder mystery dinners, and I wrote the murder mysteries to go with the dinner and scripted. They were scripted. I wrote 6 historical plays for Bayfield. I was on the Historical Society board, and I raised a lot of money for fundraising. And I did cabarets and street theatre. All of these have been scripted. So I suppose, you know, the written word in that case has been quite powerful and has brought in money for the community.
When were they, I guess if you had 12, when was the first one released and when was the last one released?
Okay, well, the last one I wrote was called Admiral Bayfield. And it was, it tied in with the 150 years since Admiral Bayfield first named Bayfield. And that was just 2019, so just before the pandemic. I haven't written one since because of the pandemic. And I don't know whether I'll do another one or not, but when we open our winery, I might do a murder mystery as a fun thing. Murder at the winery.
When was your first play?
I think in Petrolia. It was, there again, a fundraiser for the Oil Heritage Museum. But I started up the Petrolia Community Theatre many years ago.
Yes. Okay. Do you hide any secrets in your books that only a few people...
Secrets? No, but if, as I said about my travelling, people can trace my whole life through all my books, because... I cover things that have happened in our lives in a fictional, semi-fictional way. And certainly the traveling in my novellas, for instance, I've got one set in India. I grew up in Africa. I was born in Africa. So I have about 5 that are set in Africa. I have a couple set in China because I was teaching in China. I've got one set in Cyprus because we had a house in Cyprus, and so it goes on. I mean, these are all places I'm very familiar with, that I've lived in and worked in and stuff. So but secrets, no, not really. I'm a very transparent person. I don't really have secrets, but I do have a good imagination when it comes to things like having affairs and things.
Right.
Because some of my novellas are quite raunchy.
Are they? I guess, what places have you lived and where were they? Can you recall all of them?
Well, the places I've lived?
Yes.
Do you really want me to get through it all?
Is it that long a list?
quite long. I'm married to a civil engineer, and the first 12 years of our married life, we were all over the world. We were in the Far East, Middle East, Africa. And as I said, I was born in Africa, so we traveled a lot as a family. So as I say, Far East and Australia and South America and Mexico and all over the world. So very traveled, but not just traveling on holiday, but a lot of the countries we lived in for 2 or 3 years.
Sounds like you've lived on every continent. Is that?
We have. Oh, well, not the Arctic or Antarctic. Wow.
Right. So we touched on it earlier, but how long on average? I know you usually do it in a month. You do the first draft in a month. How long to write a book? But between writing the book in the first month, how on average, how long does it take till it was published?
Oh, gosh, at least 6-7 months. And I have to clarify that although I do the 1 month thing, I have spent months and months and months and months thinking and writing notes and rough drafts stuff in by pen. The month is essentially the typing up on the computer and copying and pasting and chopping and changing. But there's a lot of work that goes in this novel before it reaches that stage. But after the typing it in, it pretty well takes at least 3 or 4 months to fully edit. In the day when I was doing, Philip and I were doing it, designing a cover, formatting, and that's the boring stuff. That's really boring. Mm-hmm. And tedious. And you have to really, really work at that. You can pay somebody to do that, yes. And when you say about cost, you can pay somebody to do all of those boring bits. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't want to do that.
Right. Well, because it's boring, but you can save money by just doing it yourself. So it makes sense.
And you can do it yourself. I mean, there's step-by-step instructions of what to do. So, you can do that easily enough.
I guess the last one I have is, do you believe in writer's block?
Yes, I think I alluded to the fact that life gets in the way. And that's where I keep going back to this 1 month NaNoWriMo thing so good, because it does keep you on track. Because now this latest Rose Blair I'm doing, and I'm not doing it through the NaNoWriMo thing, I found that I started it before Christmas. I wrote a outline. I always do a big outline before I actually start writing. That keeps me a bit on track. But anyhow, I started to write it. I felt I was ready. It had been in my head for 6 months. But then, we went away and then Christmas came and life gets in the way, and it can easily, you can put it away and not pick it up for a couple of months. It's not really writer's block as so much as just life getting in the way. I think to be successful at getting a novel written, you have to be disciplined. And I think you should set yourself a set time each day to creep into your study or whatever and write. Mm-hmm. Because my experience with the writer's circles that I've had is many of them who are excellent writers just don't do that. And then a year later, I'll say, oh, did you get your novel finished? Oh, no. It's very easy. And it's life. Life gets in the way. So my advice to anybody is to try and set aside every day a little bit of time to do it and keep focused.
That's good advice. I guess, is there any final thoughts? Are there final thoughts for people to know about you, as about Judy, or Anything else about your books?
I think in my case, I enjoy writing, and I like to think that my enjoyment of writing comes through in the reading. And I think the personality of the author does come through when you read a book. And I'm a profuse reader. I read so much. And I do look at it and think, oh yeah, I sort of get the feeling that this is the author's characters coming through. So enjoy writing is what I say to people. If you don't enjoy it, it will come through, and it will, you know, it's like, well, the plays I wrote and everything, I would say to the actors, just enjoy it. Because if you enjoy it, the audience will enjoy it. And it does come through. Mm-hmm. So, and you shouldn't be writing if you're not enjoying it, really. If it becomes a chore and it's tedious, then don't do it. But it's wonderful. Writing is wonderful if you can get into it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I am the same. Yeah, I've been writing my book for 6.5 years. And I mean, like you said about the editing isn't so fun and it's tedious, but I love writing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Writing the book is lots of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And you'll get there. I mean, it's not a race.
Right.
But you can if you're not. And also the thing about writing is the pace. If you leave it too long between writing and you go back to it, you can lose that flow. There's a rhythm and flow to writing. There is a pace. And sometimes if you leave it too long, you forget or you lost that rhythm and you have to try and get it back. And yeah, that can be tricky.
Yeah, I know in my case, I kind of finished whatever it was, 7th edit or 8th. Like I you know, take several passes through, and at about in the summer, this past summer, I was like, I think I need a break. But so I took about 3 months away from it, and I came back in November or October. And yeah, the rhythm, I noticed that when I came back, that it took me a while to get that rhythm back, or that flow, because it does, like you were saying, have a rhythm as you're working on it. And yeah, it can be
probably one of the most important things about writing is to make sure you do get the right pace and right rhythm. Because the reader, and nowadays people are, there's such an instant, everybody wants everything instantly. They don't want to wait and hang around and read, read 200 pages before they get into it. You have to grab the author, the reader, within that first, I would say the first 10, 20 pages. You have to pull them in. And then keep that rhythm going. And murder mysteries are a different thing altogether. But I would say the pace and rhythm is probably the most important thing writing.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Huron County Author Talk with your host, Hamilton Baker. I hope you enjoyed my chat with Judy as much as I did. If you'd like to purchase one of her books, you can find them at local bookstores, including Fincher's in Goderich and the Village Bookshop in Bayfield, or you can order them online through Amazon. You can also borrow her books from the library. Visit HuronCountyLibrary.ca to place a hold today. Stay tuned for our next episode that will release in 2 weeks. The music on this program is Echo by Alan McKellis. Thanks for listening.